I came on in 2020 with him, and it was 2 million, and 2021 was like 2.5. So it was a really slow build,
just but steady, consistent.
Every year steady. 2023 had a fantastic storm year. We went crazy and found out that a lot of things break when it gets really, really busy.
You know, failing, because like we've had people on here that like failed when they're doing hundreds of millions of dollars, right? The thing is like,
to do that, we have to be uber focused on the things that get you to that next level.
Well, welcome to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. And I have a very interesting and special guest here, Mr. Ken Strecker. And we've gotten to know each other over the last several years, working in a partnership of us being a consultant for his business. He works and operates, but Ken's a super interesting guy. He's a cyclist. He likes to get off of his bike and like break bones and things like that. So I'm gonna let him share a little bit of that if he wants to. But no, avid cyclist, super good human, awesome guy. And I've loved to work with him over the last, I don't know, it's been probably like 3 years or so now.
Yeah, about three.
But yeah, so I've got a kind of an interesting perspective here in this story. And this is one that is from a business leader story, probably less than the entrepreneurial, right? This is someone that's more like operating in the day-to-day, the operations, the entrepreneurship of the business and trying to problem solve day in, day out. And, you know, he's got an interesting background, and I'll let him share that a little bit of kind of what brought him into the industry. This is another one of those shows that's going to talk about the roofing industry, even though this is not a industry-specific podcast. It's just that we know each other. I operate in this industry, and we both have that in common, that we've worked in this industry for the last several years. And so I'm excited to be able to share Ken's story and let him share a little bit of a different perspective than maybe what we've heard in some other episodes. And so if you like this content, please make sure you subscribe, that you share this out, you let us know how we're doing, and we'll kick it off. I'll tell you just very quickly, Ken, again, super good dude, super interesting cat. I'm gonna let him share his little bit of his story and some of the things he's passionate about. We've worked together for a little while, and he's also someone that I would say from our perspective, just like talking specifically our company, like has a very special place in our hearts. And Michaela's worked with him a lot. I've worked with him a lot. And it's been a lot of cool things that we've done over the last few years, but obviously things shift, industries change, mm-hmm. and you guys are in the process of going through some of your own internal changes. And so I fully expect to get into that a little bit today, but I want Ken to first kick off and share a little about himself and who he is and all the motorcycle, or all the, not motorcycle, what am I saying? Road bike accidents that you like to have.
It's not a whole lot. I mean, it's two in 20 some years. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not a lot.
Pretty significant. Injuries,
well, you break a collarbone, seven ribs, and yeah, it's a thing. But,
just, where are you from? Family, anything you want to share just to kind of kick it off?
Born and raised here in Denver, Colorado. Grew up, went to college, ran away to Arizona for 4 years to do that, and came right back. Just been here my whole life. Sold just about everything, telecom, solar, you name it, financial services, landed in the roofing space, and love it here. So have a unique opportunity to do what I do. Brian, our president, is our visionary, and he's the entrepreneur. So I get to operate the operator role.
The chaos. Operate the chaos.
Yes.
Of
yes.
all the things that happen
I am the funnel from the big ideas
like the
to
big puff
what we
of
can
smoke
do.
Smoke that's happening behind Brian, and you're just trying to keep it all together.
Yes. Yeah. The cat herder.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's good. Let's start off with industry experience. Obviously, you started in the industry in what year?
2016.
Okay. And you and Brian were actually working for the same company at some point, is
yep.
that correct?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And the last one, he had my role and I was a sales guy. So.
There you go. So then Brian started his own company, you come along. And then I guess just like over the last several years, now you guys, what I would say is you've been like the slow and steady company. You've not been this like, oh, we're trying to grow to $100 million and scale up with all this overhead and do a bunch of crazy things. You guys are also very much in the, you kind of try to operate with that, you utilize virtual assistants and AI and some of these things that are trying to make life a little easier, maybe a little bit more modernized than a lot of other companies in the space. But yeah, I mean, I guess just to kind of kick that off, talk about your experience of what JRG has been like. Obviously, been in the industry for a while, but kind of like starting a company from basically nothing with Brian, and what that has looked like over the last few years. And then I guess kind of maybe fast track us to, you know, I think it was a couple years ago, like the big year,
yeah,
and all the things that were going on. Just give us a little bit of the lead up of that story.
Sure.
That's played out.
Sure. So it, yeah, exactly. That is smaller company, 4 or 5 sales guys, really grew from a, just a referral standpoint. We work with insurance agents and realtors and work to get to on their behalf rather than door knocking and trying to get kind of what we would consider colder leads. Man, I came on in 2020 with him and it was 2 million and 2021 was like 2.5. So it was a really slow build,
but steady, consistent.
Every year steady. 2023 had a fantastic storm year. We went crazy and found out that a lot of things break when it gets really, really busy. Yeah. So 2024 kind of rode that wave of, you know, the residual
claim.
Some
of the residuals.
Yep. And in this year, 2025, we're finding that we rode a lot of that wave and made some assumptions that, you know, all of our continued growth would continue to grow.
Yep.
And took for granted some of the core stuff that we did with really, really digging in with our referral partners. Yep. And making sure that we stayed connected with,
yep,
them. So we had a
kind of
this
felt
year's
like
been
it
tough.
Was, yeah, I kind of felt like it was going in such a direction where it's like not let off the gas pedal, but feel like, oh, this should get easier and it should
sure.
get, it should come to us easier, and then
just automatic
things happen, right?
Yeah.
So 23 obviously a big year, like you said, 24 the residual effects of some of that work that, you know, a storm hit, and you know, there's all these things that happen in our industry for folks that are watching. You know, environmental factors play a big role in the ability to be able to respond to things and be able to have obviously a large substantiated revenue and even profits, hopefully, if you're running your business right from that. So that was the similar circumstance here for JRG. Great business, come into this big growth upscale, you know, growth. They kind of had to like build the airplane a little bit as it was coming down. And that's what I want to say. We worked together for a while.
Yeah.
So a lot of those systems are in place. Ken's a very, very much in the nuance, very much understands the importance of details and things like that. But I guess what would you say was like the number one thing, besides maybe getting lazy with relationships or not doing, you know, not continuing to like tread that path and maybe thinking, oh, this, we've been substantiated now, our business has a brand, people know about us, and, you know, this should in theory get easier year over year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say was like the biggest, for you as the operator, the biggest pain point or the biggest issue going into now this year, and all of the things that had happened in the last couple of years of like, oh, it was going, things were moving and grooving, and then this is now the circumstances where we're having to make a bunch of adjustments, we're having to do a lot of things. Like, what would you say was the biggest fault for that?
Biggest fault? It literally was just kind of putting our head in the sand that things were just going to be easy. Just, you know, hey, we've established, as we brought on new people, they're, you know, we feel like we onboard well.
Yeah.
But remembering what it was like to be in those shoes, that those early years of like, yeah, you do have to grind. And having some of those folks that were in the process of that grind, 2023, you know, everybody's living off these big checks now.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of big talk, and the new guys are going, oh, this should be easy. And really having to lead to that and go, no, guys, it's you're seeing the fruits of labor from 2-3 years ago that these guys worked really hard at. And the new guys came in and just kind of expected where it was.
Yeah.
And so,
then there was turnover, and then so I want to talk personnel a little bit.
Since, sure.
Again, this is going to be different in this particular episode, and we are working on a shorter bit of time than usual. So I want to make this as impactful as I can, talking specifically to like operators or people mm-hmm. that have to deal with people all day long, right? Personnel, like, do you feel like there was any key mistakes or anything that happened in the process, and what were those mistakes?
Yeah, we, because we are a family type company, we want everybody to have a seat on the bus, so to speak. I think we put a lot of people, we try to accommodate some skills that, like, we had some really creative people. We had some folks that were really good with, you know, the things that were ancillary.
Not moving the needle, but they were like cool in the theory of
yeah.
it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it would help, but it's a small help. And we had them in roles to where they needed to be more leaders and they needed to be more sales driven. And that just wasn't their natural skill. Yeah. And so you could see as you push that down to like, okay, you need to be leading a sales team. And it was almost an adverse step away thing for those folks. And so we suffered from it. We suffered from it pretty. And so we're, you know, learning how to identify people in the skill set that we need rather than trying to mold the people that we have. So if we've had to make some changes.
Yeah. Yeah. And changes like that are not fun, obviously, like letting go of people or retraining others or trying different strategies. So what would you say for you has been the biggest, like, besides obviously the effects of the business not performing as well this last year and like the things that just come along with that, which is like more serious meetings, like we got to turn this around, we got to do these things. What would you say has been the biggest thing for you that like you wish you would have done differently from the beginning of the process and seeing this all play out that way?
It's a good question. Really being more direct and having those difficult conversations of accountability of this is what we need from you versus just it's okay, it'll be okay, keep try
Cause
hard
because you're ultimate positivity kid. The eternal optimist.
if you could put
that man's face in the dictionary, the eternal optimist, that's next to it. Anyway, no, continue.
That really is it, is having the tough conversations about this is what we need, really explaining to the staff like the overall business perspective of yes, we care about you, but the business has got to be in existence for me to help you feed your family, etc. So that was a lot of it. That's the biggest thing.
And I know there's a lot of folks we've had on the show, and it's no lesser or greater than, but like people that have been doing big numbers and multiple millions of dollars, 8-9 figures. And you guys, your company, I think at the peak in that year is around like 8 million or something like that, somewhere in that ballpark. So I think one of the things to take away from this is like, obviously and I've said this before in other shows, there's kind of this gray area. I think I've talked with you about that in many of our calls at some point in time, maybe I didn't necessarily, refer to it as like the gray zone or the gray area, but like where it's like, you're not really there to a point where you can establish like a very solid overhead, you know, reduce the churn of your employees and make sure that you're like going to retain well and like people are refined in roles and you have like, we try to build the production department things and all these different things, right? So you're kind of in that place where you have to like do more with less, right?
Yep.
Until you get past that phase. But I think one thing I want to mention is that like, you know, failing, because like we've had people on here that like failed when they're doing hundreds of millions of dollars, right? The thing is like, failure or the failing that then you bounce back from, which you guys are obviously in that like bounce back period and making things happen. It can happen to anybody. Like it's not just like the small guy or the large guy. Like it's everybody. And so I think that you, you guys going through this, it's like it's funny. It's not funny at all. It's interesting is what I should say, because to me, and obviously we had so many financial talks and so many things like leading up to it, like we kind of knew, we knew what was going on.
Yeah, it was not a surprise.
Right, it was not a surprise when that time came. But of like their adjustments must be made, right? And I think like obviously this is me interviewing you, and I think that like I have a preference of like when things get handled and like you're talking about being more direct, handling conversations. I think that's the perfect answer, because I would agree with that, right? That like that's the sauce that like we'll learn from this, right?
Yeah.
And we'll say like, hey, we don't want to be back in this position. We got to make sure we're taking care of business when we know 6 months prior this is probably going to be the circumstances that we're in, or whatever, you know. But no, I think the question I have for you next is for you. Going through this journey and like having to adapt to the changes, is there anything in particular that you would like to share with the audience of like where you guys are at? You rode the mountaintops, everything was going good, and even for the size of company, like $8 million company, you guys were ultra profitable, which is possible in this industry if you take care of things the right way and you're not getting crazy. Ultra profitable. You made a lot of great money. Brian did too. People in the staff. Do you have a, I guess, is there any particular challenge, or excuse me, is there any particular circumstance that you're in right now that you're like, man, this is probably going to present a challenge, but I'm going to have the mindset to, you know, overcome it because I'm carrying this type of mindset. So what's your mindset in this season and like what you're doing? Because like, obviously there are things that are having to change. There's a lot of challenges that come along with that. So like, what's your mindset as you're addressing things and operationally trying to get things to where they need to be back to where you were previously?
Mindset, well, it's always positive. So it is always there. There is a way to get this done. Remember why you do it. Stay true to our mission of, you know, hey, we're trying to create an environment where our folks can have financial freedom and some independence and an independent lifestyle. To do that, we have to be uber focused on the things that get you to that next level. So really diving down and getting into the core of like, yeah, this is the core of our business. This is how we drive business. There's no excuse for it. There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. And to have, again, kind of getting back to just being very frank and open and honest and saying, it's not good enough. Yeah. We're creating excuses for ourselves and or allowing excuses for the sales staff and not allowing both of those and really in a caring way, but to say, hey man, I care about you. I want this to succeed. We need to succeed. Let's dig deeper into the why and remember these times.
Yeah.
It's easy to, you know, when you're riding high, it's easy to forget all the struggles. So really being a lot more regimented on like, okay, these, as we go through these struggles, document them. So they, you know, they're memorialized.
Yeah, they don't happen again.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I know this was a short bit and I don't wanna, you know, I know it's like a 20 minute or something. Normally we go a little longer, but just because of the time constraints, I needed to cut it short. But I wanna say this, like, just from all the learning, right? All the things that you've done and being the operator in a business, like, is there anything that you feel like is the, I mean, obviously being direct, learning from mistakes, all the things we talked about already, but for you as a day-to-day operator, is there something that you're like, this is 100% like the one thing that helps us move the needle or one thing that you're, I guess, really focused on to make sure that this is going to continue to go in the direction of rebounding and recovering and then getting into a position where we're back like we were a few years ago? Like, is there something that you, that you're prioritizing or
numbers, obviously knowing the numbers. And that's, you guys have done a phenomenal job with us really teaching us how to dig in and see, you know, how long it's taking to close deals, how profitable the deals are, all the way to operating expenses, really digging in and understanding the number side of it and how that leads to either more success or less success and being able to tweak those as you like to say, pull the levers. That go, okay, if I do this, how does that affect the business? Is that, you know, is that a positive? Is that a negative? And looking at the financial health at the end of the day, if the business doesn't exist, nothing else does. Yeah, so making sure that the business stays as healthy as possible.
The focus is the numbers. The focus is making sure the math makes sense. That's a good answer. Is there anything else that's from your side of things in your seat that you feel like is, I mean, because there's so many things. There's automations and AI and CRM development and, you know, and then departmentalization and, you know, like, you're like, man, Connor, you're speaking of all the things you've tried to work with our company on. And some of those things have been highly successful and moved the needle in some ways, right? But like for you, what do you feel like is, other than going out and doing the work and learning from mistakes and all the things we talked about, like, is there, to you, is there like a silver bullet or something and you're like, man, you know, which you said the numbers and if that's a perfectly acceptable answer, but is there anything that you're like, man, like this is the thing that at all costs, like you must focus on this from your perspective?
From my perspective,
rather than like what an entrepreneur would think, right? Which is like, you know, their mind's in a thousand different directions a lot of times, but you're like in the thick of it, and you're like, we, and obviously, you know, there's a lot that goes into your day to day, but yeah, is there one thing that's like,
for me, it's process. For the guys, for the sales team, for the, of making sure it is a, the, that every member of the team has a good understanding of their role and
is doing it the similar way, right?
Is doing it a similar way and is doing it as efficiently. I'm always looking for to make that wheel spin faster. How do we make it? How do we make your job easier? How do you make it to where, yeah, man, you can do seven presentations instead of five presentations? Yeah. How do I make that? How do we communicate? How do we follow up?
Sure.
And you know, being the the operator to the visionary, how do I control the bigger
ways? Well, it's
and get it into like these are the 3 to 5 things that we really have to. This is going to push us forward. Let's focus on those rather than the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah, that's good. Well, brother, I appreciate you being on.
Of course,
good wisdom. Is there anything that you would like to share with the audience? Either a cycling tip. Well, I know I keep going back. I'm just joking. But no, but like anything that you'd like to leave your kind of like final remarks as you wrap up.
Wow. Fail forward. Always fail forward. You're going to, you know, it's
fail fast, learn faster. You've probably heard me say that.
Yep.
Before. So
yeah.
Similar concept.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So fail forward.
Don't lose the lesson. Don't lose the lesson while you're in the process of learning.
Yeah.
I won't say losing, but.
No, I mean, it is true. Like, and there's, I think one of the things I admire about Ken and even Brian, the conversations we've had, is there is always a positive mindset. There's always like there's a way through. And although even working together, like I know that we've had a lot of talks, and we have, you probably heard me more than you want to hear me, if we're being honest, right? You can say it. It's okay, Ken.
Some days.
We've
had some conversations but that's part of the thing, is it's open and honest.
And also I have a yap, so sometimes it's long to get to the point, which is okay, but I have to be very explanation. I have to give a very good explanation, you know.
So. Of course.
I think that like the overall thing that I admire and want to just like hit on is that like you guys always carry that attitude is like there's a path forward. And even through this time that's, you know, it's been thin, we're like figuring out the rebound effects of this, you know, and you know, and like you said, it's not losing, it's learning, right? And I would agree with that. But like the elements of doing what you guys have done and kind of ride to the top, and then now we're like, all right, we thought we were in this position that, yeah, I don't feel like it was a process thing. I don't feel like it was like you could identify one thing. I think it's just like a culmination of the things taking place. It's like we're in the situation that we're in right now, and we need to be able to like make sure that we learn from all those little tiny things that happened along the way and not have that happen again. So I will say that my final takeaway with this is like, you know, there's always a path through. Failing is not a permanent failure unless you quit, you know? So you guys have gone through that experience of learning already and on the upswing to come back into this. And I just appreciate you being, you know, vulnerable and sharing it while you're in that season, you know, because like obviously there's a lot of things that are, you know, it's a grind. That's why I asked the like the mindset thing, because we've all been there. If you have not been battle tested, you just don't know until you know. Yeah. And so now you know, and Ken, you know, and Brian knows, and you know, not that people don't have their ups and downs and things that happen along the way in their personal life journey. You've like, even I know we're joking about it, but you've had some pretty serious injuries have set you back. You've had like, I know the blood clot thing happened to you a little while back, whatever. Like there's personal things that happen that cause that up and down effect. But it, like in business, like, you know, when you're riding high, it's hard to see that there's a way down, and you know, and then when it happens and it's like, man, you now know what it's like to experience adversity. So, but appreciate it, brother. Thanks for being on. And with that, that's another episode wrapped. No Suits Allowed. Be sure to check out other episodes as well. And if you feel like this story could be shared to another business leader or someone that's in the thick of it, making a rebound and going to kind of hit that launch pad to get their business back on the right track, this would be a great show to listen to. And be sure you like and subscribe. That's a wrap. And we'll see you in the next few weeks or the next episode.